and yesterday, which was the 7th of January. On the 7th of December, a similar conference was being held in Linyi City, which is in China. There were 270 pastors gathered there, and at 1:30 in the day, the police came in. Everyone was taken off. Those who were fortunate were just their details were taken and they were fined. As far as we know, there are still 50 or 60 of those who went to that conference who are still in Chinese prisons today. The reason I say that is because I'm looking for your help. As many of you know, I helped to edit Church and Chains magazine, which simply seeks to tell the story of the suffering church around the world. And we really love everybody to bring this message to their churches. At this present time, we're circulating a petition for religious freedom in China. We've extended the closing date for that petition to the end of this month. And I brought a pile of forms with me to the conference. They're on the table at the back, just beside the bookstall. And I know, looking out, that a number of you have worked on circulating this in your churches. And if you haven't had the chance to do that, I'd love you to take a few forms and encourage your people to sign these forms. And if what I'm saying is completely new to you, do please take a copy of Church and Chains and find out what's happening to our brothers and sisters around the world. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Let me pray for Hodge. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this conference, for the privilege it is for us to be gathered together here as brothers and sisters serving in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're conscious from what David has just shared with us that others seek to serve you in their own context and in a situation in situations which are much more dangerous, and the possibility of threats and even martyrdom are there because of their witness to Jesus. Lord, for all the struggles that we might feel at times in our ministry here in Ireland, we recognize that you have been gracious to us. You have given us a land where, while people may be opposed to the gospel of grace, yet our physical safety has not, up to this point, been under threat. But we thank you, Lord, that you have called each of us to our particular places, and we thank you in particular this afternoon for Podge and his witness in Westport in County Mayo, and for his ministry there. And we pray, Lord, that as he comes to share with us now, that you would equip him, encourage him by the power of your Holy Spirit, and that by our time together now, we would have a fresh impetus, fresh encouragement for the sharing of the good news, and perhaps some new ideas of how we might do it in this 21st century. So be with Podge now, be with us as we listen and interact. In Jesus' name.
I'm not quite sure this evening whether I'll hit the mark, but hopefully by the end of the evening, there's not an awful lot of time, I'm going to try and speak on the subject of reaching people in Ireland today. So I suppose our subject basically is evangelism. I'd like to recommend a book, if I could please, 9 Marks of a Healthy Church by Mark Dever. There's also a very helpful website by the same name, 9marks.org, and some of the thoughts that I have. I just want to bring a few thoughts first of all, then a few recommendations, and then I have a few questions which might help us in a small time of discussion. I hope, and I'm quite sure, that when I say that evangelism is a priority, I hope that everybody is able to say amen. But let me quote a verse from Paul the Apostle, Romans 1, verses 14 and 15. Paul says, "I am a debtor," he says, "to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also." I asked the question of myself, and I asked the question of you this afternoon. To what extent does that feeling of being a debtor rest on you? That the unconverted, the people whom you rub shoulders with, maybe
in your place of employment, if you're not in full-time ministry, the people that you rub shoulders with in your local community, the people in your local area, in your town. To what extent do you sense a sense of indebtedness that they must hear the gospel? To what extent do you feel like the lepers outside the gate, that you've got the good news, and maybe it's time you went back to the city and told them the great and glorious news of the gospel? Evangelism ought to be every Christian's priority, not just full-time ministers like many of us here this afternoon. We see that clearly. The commission was not just to the apostles. The commission was given to all Christians, going to all the world. We see that clearly in Acts chapter 8, when the people were scattered. They went everywhere declaring the message, and the apostles actually were left behind. And not in the declaration of the message, but they were behind physically. So it was everybody gossiping the gospel, everybody being a soul winner, everybody reaching out. And I think that is a very, very key, something that John Woodside mentioned last night, and what I'll talk about again in a few moments. I think it's key that we keep that in mind, that every single person that's listening to us on a Sunday morning, we ought to see them, we ought to help them, they ought to see themselves as one who has a debt to pay, as a debtor to the Greek and to the Jew, to the barbarian. The second thing I want to say about evangelism, there's just a few notes I want to strike with relation to evangelism. The second thing is that evangelism needs to be doctrinally full. No dumping down, no emptying the message of what might seem a bit heady. So it needs to be doctrinally full, but without being heavily technical. We need to be ones who declare all the doctrine of God, all that God has declared and that God has revealed in his word to mankind. It needs to be declared, all that the Spirit has inspired. And yet we need to do so in a fashion that is accessible to the man on the street. Now that's the challenge. So we need to be able to speak of justification. We need to be able to speak of substitutionary atonement. We need to be able to speak of repentance. We need to be able to speak of faith alone. And we need to be able to explain, why is it faith alone? We need to be able to talk of Christ alone. And why is it Christ alone? We need to be able to explain ourselves. Why is it grace alone? So our evangelism needs to be doctrinally full and yet accessible. Then the next thing I want to say is that evangelism needs to be faithful. Now I believe we're living in days of small things. At least that's our experience on the West Coast. I wish I could move to Drogheda, but I can't. But evangelism needs to be faithful, and particularly in times when we can describe them as small days of small things. Evangelism must never be defined in terms of its results or its methods, only in terms of its faithfulness to the message preached. This distinction is extremely vital, because a mistake at this point in our definition of what is evangelism, a mistake at that point will lead us off into territory that can be very, very difficult for ourselves personally, and more certainly for the world. John Stott said, to evangelize does not mean to win converts. That's not unusual. Evangelism does not mean to win converts, but simply to announce the good news, irrespective of the result. Brothers and sisters, we evangelize because we're commanded to do so. And we continue to evangelize irrespective of the results because we're commanded to do so. We cannot and we must not finally judge the correctness of what we do in evangelism by the immediate response. We do not fail in our evangelism if we faithfully present the gospel and yet the person is not converted. But we do fail if we fail to present the gospel. Continuing on this theme of faithfulness, we must declare the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We need to present the glorious positives of the gospel, of which there are many. But we also need to be prepared to declare the negatives of the gospel. We have a wonderful and astounding good news. To think this afternoon we sit here fully and completely forgiven. We sit here this afternoon as people who are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. We have access to Almighty God, permanent, secured access. For people who have a certain text, we have a purpose and a meaning, we have a hope eternal. All of these things we can declare to people. But we also need to be faithfully declaring to people about sin, about guilt, and about the need of repentance. But this, of course, is not popular in our modern self-esteem age. A quote from Robert Schuller, not because I agree with it, but I think it's a good illustration of the point. He said, "I don't think that anything has been done in the name of Christ and under the banner of Christianity that has proved more destructive to human personality and hence counterproductive to the evangelistic enterprise than the unchristian, uncouth strategy of attempting to make people aware of their lost and sinful condition." Now I hope you're not saying amen. I hope you're saying, "Oh my gracious, did he actually say that?" You see, the flesh, your flesh, my flesh, and the flesh of everybody out there does not need stroking. It needs humbling. And that's very important. Making people aware of their lost condition is part and parcel, of sharing the gospel. We cannot pretend that mankind is engaged in some honest pursuit of truth. No man is hostile to God, and are by nature enemies of God and are enemies of his ways. Now, it may not be polite to point out the reality of sin and its consequences, but it is a necessary part of gospel ministry. You go into a doctor and he looks at your situation and he examines you and he's totally, completely and utterly confident that you have a very severe illness. Wouldn't be very polite of him not to tell you and not to recommend certain treatment. During a lecture at Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary, J.I. Packer said, "A half-truth masquerading as the whole truth is an untruth. For the sake of God's glory and the person to whom we are witnessing, let's be upfront and faithful to the whole gospel and what it costs to follow Christ. Let us not, in our desire to minimize the offense of the gospel, strip it of its life-changing truth." One of the wonderful and beautiful things that happened to you at some stage is somebody pointed you out your need. Okay, so we need to be faithful. We need to be faithful in our declaration, not looking for the results per se, not deciding whether we'll continue doing what we're doing measured by the results, but we also need to be faithful in our declaration of the whole truth and nothing but the truth. A number of suggestions and recommendations, and I hopefully have some of them right. But I think first of all, what has occurred recently in the production of some evangelistic courses, I think they're very, very helpful. I think they're very, very helpful in an Irish context, maybe in everywhere, but they're very helpful because it affords the person the opportunity to hear the gospel spelt out in the A, the B, and the C. Spelt out in all of its details, the nuts and the bolts taken out, and a person given an opportunity to have a good look at it. It gives opportunity to get to know the person better and hopefully be able to apply Holy Scripture more accurately to their particular need. It gives the person opportunity to count the cost, and hopefully you can help them to make sure that they do it accurately. It gives the person opportunity to get answers to questions that maybe they might not ask otherwise. So in all of our evangelistic efforts, I would suggest that we should seek to engage a person in a Christianity Explained or a Christianity Explored or in an ongoing Bible study, somewhere where that person is going to have an opportunity for an ongoing exposure to the truths of the gospel. The second thing I would recommend and suggest is evangelism itself, explained or explored. In other words, for your congregation, for the people who are part of your church, they need help. We all need help. We all need to be equipped and trained and helped in sharing the gospel. We have a responsibility. I believe this is a responsibility that rests upon us as ministers of God's word, that the people have or are being trained and helped in sharing the gospel. There are many good training aids available, and I would suggest that you search out one and use it in your church. The witness of ordinary people in ordinary situations is oftentimes far more effective than organized evangelistic efforts. Both are necessary, but statistics will seem to show that somebody speaking to their colleague at work, or that person speaking to their family friend or neighbour, or speaking to someone that they're related to, seems to have more effect. Why? I believe part of it is because the person who's been witnessed to has the opportunity not just to hear the message, but God willing, to see the message in that person's life. So the message is authenticated by the person living it, or hopefully living worthy of the gospel. Training is also, I believe, important because we have a responsibility to try and help people that they are preaching the gospel in all of its fullness, and that it's the gospel and the gospel alone that they are presenting. In other words, that they are planting certified seed. This is in no way to replace organized evangelistic effort of the church. It's not one or the other, it's both together. And then just a few words on the subject of culture. I speak with a West of Ireland accent. If you haven't known what it is, that's what it is. But I want to say a few words to those who have come from other countries, and the words are simply, Cade Neil Falsey, you're very, very welcome. A thousand welcomes to you, and if you can bring more of your colleagues from wherever you come from, contact them soon and get them to come on over. So how do we deal with this issue of culture, Irish culture and its oddities? Every culture has its oddities, and how do we deal with it? Now, there's one thing that I've observed, and I'm not an expert on missionology, but there's one thing I've observed, and that is that love covers a multitude. Love covers a multitude. And, you know, if the sociologists and if the missionologists got a hold of some of the things that have happened here in Ireland, they'd say, well, that shouldn't have occurred. I hope John Woodside doesn't mind me saying that the sociologists and the psychologists and all of these characters, if they got a hold of what happened in Kilkenny, they'd say, oh no, that shouldn't have occurred. But you see, there's a God in heaven. But there's one element outside of the vertical that I think is so, so important, and it is this. If people perceive that you love them and that you care for them, it covers an awful lot of problems. Covers a ton of stuff, and that's the issue. And this morning Stafford read for us 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I want to just read two verses from it. And it's actually three. We were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children, so affectionately longing for you. We were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. And then 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 19. For what is our hope and joy, our crown and rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? Now, if we have that type of an attitude to people, it's fantastic. I'll give you an illustration. We had a colleague working with us for a number of years, and he spoke with a very, very strong Belfast accent. about as strong, you could take slices of it and sell it. And his politics and all of that type of stuff seemed wrong. Now he didn't bother with it, he didn't bring it up. But everything, culture, background, the whole lot was all wrong. And yet he was able to establish a rapport with people in Ballinagh that I couldn't. Why? Because there was a sense in which they came from the same socio-economic background, if you want to use fancy terminology, and that there was a bonding which that occurred between them, and it just simply didn't matter that one was from Belfast and the other was from Ballinagh. He loved them, and it came out, and they knew it. So what I would say to you, if you've come from a different place, is be free. Don't let yourself get into knots. You'll never understand the Irish anyway. So we don't understand ourselves. So, you know, if the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, and this is where we come to God in prayer, not to the sociological studies, not to the missionology studies, but down in our hearts before God in prayer and say, Lord, fill my heart with your love. And then something will happen. Now, this comes the time for the commercials. I did tell John, I warned him that I'd do the commercials. Just want to mention to you, many of you will be familiar with the For You.ie magazine, 16-page full colour. This is issue number 2. Issue number 3 will be coming out soon. What we generally do is we send out the whole magazine in PDF format to your churches for you to have a look at it. If you're happy with it, you can then order it, and it'll be delivered to you in and around May of this year. It'll work out at approximately €36 per box of 250. If you're not a member of ENFAS, if you are a member of ENFAS, it works out at approximately €31 per box of 250. So if you're not on the email listing for ENFAS and you wish to receive this in PDF format so that you can consider it, then please see me afterwards and we can take down your email address, etc., and make sure that you get a copy of it. It also has a website, as you can see, it's for you.ie. If you want to make use of that website in your evangelism, then please do so. Advertise it on your building if you've got one. Put an advertisement in your local newspaper. Print cards and put them around the houses in your local community. Whatever you think, advertise the website, and if a referral comes from your area to the website, then we will get back to you and say, would you like to follow this one up? Because there's a number of free offers, as there is in the magazine, so there is on the website. There's a number of free offers like Bibles, a copy of a DVD, an evangelistic DVD, and so on and so forth. Consider it. The third advertisement, I've been talking to a number of people with relation to the possibility of producing a generic radio program, something around the half hour period, a program that you could then take to your local radio station and try and gain a slot. The radio station would attach to that generic radio program a jingle saying Sword Baptist Church presents the following program and away she goes. If you want to contact the people in Sword Baptist Church, the phone number is such and such a thing, or something to that effect. Now, the question I have to ask, and I'm using this as an opportunity this afternoon, the question I have to ask is how many people here would see that as a viable opportunity to go to their own local radio station and say, would you like to broadcast this on it? So take a show of hands. 1, 2, 3, 3 people, 4, 5. Four of the ladies the red hat. Questions. First of all, within your own church, some of the people that attend your meetings regularly may not be converted. How are you seeking to minister to them? Always remember that there is the possibility that a person might have Christianity but not actually have Christ. Second question. Have you sought to train your people and to help them in their desire to share the gospel? Okay. They may be muzzled from doing a mighty work simply and solely because they haven't been given the tools. Okay, let's leave that challenge with you. Have you identified any evangelists? If you have, please send them to the west of Ireland. No, sorry. Have you identified any evangelists? Well, if you have, cherish them and encourage them. And don't see them as pastors in waiting. Evangelists are like gold dust. So if you find one, shout hallelujah. So that's questions in relation to your local church. Then your local area. Thinking of what we were saying with relation to faithfulness in evangelism, may I ask you, what strategies have you in place so that each person in your local area will have an opportunity to hear the message? Friendship evangelism will only reach a limited circle. Our outreach needs to be broader than our circle of friends. It needs to include them, but it does need to be broader. Now here's a larger question, a move to countrywide question. Would it be possible for Presbyterian, Baptist, Church of Ireland people, churches aligned to Angels, would it be possible for some kind of a development of an agreed church planting strategy for this contract? Now what I mean by that is, we would end up identifying the need nationally. In other words, I was talking to a gentleman in Spain recently, and he was very, very surprised when he told me, he told me that they were able to tell me all of the towns in Spain that had yet to have a full-time working. All the towns where there is not a church planting effort taking place under such a population size, under such a population size, etc., etc. So have we got that information? We haven't. Should we have it? I believe we should. I believe I was talking to a gentleman who was planning to plant a church, go and plant a church in Galway City. I said to him, why go to Galway City? I said, 20 miles up the road, I said, there's a place called Knockray where there's nobody working. Why go into Galway City when it's pretty well catered for? So that's the first thing. Identify the needs nationally. Identify the resources needed for a church planting strategy in the country. To stock take, then, the third thing, to stock take the resources that are available among us. If you look around, yeah, we're not a bad bunch of characters, you know. There are resources available among us that maybe we need to stock take and say, well, and then what about a prayer support network for church planting in Ireland? And then finally, and this I close, and Andrew is going to help me with the next section of this talk. I think we have until about 5:30, is it, John? Yes. Have you any ideas evangelistically which maybe you'd love to see developed, but you just haven't got the resources? But maybe if we were to club together, we could do it. Something like we said, this magazine. You know, I'll be honest with you, part of the motivation for producing this magazine was because we needed something like this locally in County Mayo. So I'd be blunt about it, I used my position within Ainsford to promote it nationally. And you know, so is there something like that that maybe has been winding away in your mind that could impact people and reach people that we could maybe do together? Okay, right, Andrew, help me out, please.